Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Tirade, Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Once again, I welcome all of you. Especially I want to welcome a very, very old friend of mine, whom I believe I met during the time where I was in Heidelberg, that is some more than 30 years ago. He has chosen another path than me. He's a professor. It is Oliver Krüger, and he knows everything in case you have questions. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Oliver, and welcome all of you. This is now the last session of our seminar, and I want to just share with you once again what is the point of this year's Bhakti Retreat seminar. It is quite simple, but very often in life, the simple things do escape our attention. For instance, breathing. A very simple activity at first glance, but you might notice after some time living that you are not never paid attention to your breath. And we understand from our tradition that it is breathing which is so crucial to our physical and mental well-being. Other simple things we overlook is perhaps we are simply grateful for every day we are alive and we are surrounded with an ocean of opportunities and possibilities. An ocean which we learn to navigate once we awaken to the concept, I'm free. I'm free to choose. Another thing which is more spiritual perhaps, although these are also good things to remember, is to pay attention to the main point of Krishna consciousness, and that is to remember Krishna always, always means constantly, and to never forget him. This being mindful of Krishna has been described by Srila Prabhupada, the real art of Krishna consciousness, which helps us to really focus on the main point. He gave the example, that helps us to maintain our Krishna consciousness. He gave us the simple example you can see in Vrindavan on your visits when you go out to the village. You find women going twice a day, in the morning and just before the sun sets, to the well, which is outside the village, and they capture water, they draw water, put it onto these impressive containers. They're usually made of brass, sometimes out of clay, and then they go back. They may talk all the time. Mostly I have seen in the when it's early in the morning, they like to sing when they go. And this way they don't lose themselves. And also I've seen very often in the, when they return at dawn, they always joke, they laugh. And so they do other things, but because they are simply aware that I'm having this water on my head, and they don't lose balance. If they should lose the balance, the water would tip, and they would become wet, and they would have to return to the well again. So in the same way, a devotee, that's the art of remaining in Krishna consciousness, should all the time, while he goes through his life, remember Krishna, then he will maintain the delicate balance in his life. If he should forget Krishna, there could be problems in his spiritual life. He could again revert back to illusion, and he might have to start Krishna consciousness all over again. It's a simple point. Badahari Prabhu, who's perhaps just like Krishna Chetra Maharaj, they are old devotees, and they said, you have a tendency to speak about the simple things. And I say, yes, that's me. I spoke with our Brahma Tirtha Prabhu. Brahma Tirtha Prabhu remembers speaking to Prabhupada in Calcutta. He had spoken many times with Prabhupada in Mayapur, which is 120 kilometers away, and from his talks with Prabhupada, a book later appeared. It's called Perfect Question, Perfect Answers. Perhaps you know this book, you've read this book. Do you remember anything from your reading? It's a good question, no? I'm sorry, I always ask these uncomfortable questions. So after these talks and after the book was compiled, the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you spent so much time with Brahma, Tirtha Prabhu, do you think he will become a devotee?" And Prabhupada said, with a frustration in his expression, "No, he's too attached to smoking marijuana with his friends." At that time, Bob, that was his name, was in the Peace Corps. You know, they would be young people, and they were stationed somewhere in India, I forgot, and there was easy access to that plant. So, no, he's too attached. Now, later, when Prabhupada left Mayapur and went to Calcutta, a Brahma Tirtha who had become also attached to Prabhupada, saw Prabhupada in Calcutta, and they had some conversation. And Prabhupada then told him directly into his Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might well overlook it. So I have overlooked many points in Krishna consciousness for a long time. Yes, I have gone to many seminars. Yes, I have read many books. Yes, I have discussed with many devotees. Yes, some say I'm this and that in a praising way. But I must say, only recently, again, this point has come up for me, that the whole essence, the reason why we practice all of this is to remember Krishna, not forget him. And this is something I want to say again, that has to be practiced, much like anything has to be practiced which we are not accustomed to. I can imagine if I would challenge you for push-ups here, but don't worry, I won't do this time, because some of you might not be very practiced in push-up. You would give up after 3.5 push-ups, perhaps. So something which we are not accustomed to has to be practiced, and I want to, and this is what the seminar is about. Please repeat. Yang mang smritva gada gada bhavati. Yang mang smritva puta puto bhavati. Yang mang smritva vrati vrati bhavati. Yang ma smritva sakamo nishkamo bhavati. Yang ma smritva shrotriyo shrotriyo bhavati. Very good. Tat sat chant, and they start usually with Om and end. So here's your translation. By remembering me, a shallow person becomes deep. By remembering me, an impure person becomes pure. By remembering me, an impious person becomes pious. By remembering me, one full of material desires becomes free and desireless. And by remembering me, a fool becomes learned. This is the way the Gopaltapani Upanishad introduces us to this remembrance of Krishna, which, as you start, is a simple, Jiva Goswami describes it, you bring something into your attention. The second level is, after bringing something into your attention, you hold it there. The third level, it gets deeper and deeper, is after bringing something into your awareness and holding it there, you start to meditate about it. After doing this, your meditation becomes steady. You can meditate for a long time. It is Dhruvanu Smriti. It's compared with a flow of oil from a container, you know, perhaps olive oil. You don't oil, the scriptures use the example of honey also, and it is one unbroken flow. And the last level is samadhi, or deep absorption. So there is a whole school of memory, of remembrance, and what we are talking about in this seminar, and also I'm publishing writing a book for a devotee audience and for an outreach audience. What we find here is a school of remembrance that brings more and more Krishna into our hearts, so that even in the greatest difficulty, at the moment of death, we remember Krishna and we move into his world. No, this is a very interesting project. To do this practically, remember, it's a school. The great Acharya, Ramanujacharya, has told us a few items about Krishna remembrance. It is, first we immerse our minds in the deep and expansive ocean of Krishna's compassion. Then we move on to his good character, to his beauty, sweetness that we had yesterday, gravity, benevolence, and finally, the last quality, Krishna's affection. And what I hope today is to make you fall in love with Krishna, because you feel, oh, Krishna has an interest in me. And then you will be more able to return that. This is my idea. I hope you will drink from the cup of Krishna consciousness today and the rest of your life and be happy devotees. Is that a good project?
Yeah.
Good. So, it is very interesting. So let us first start our prana. No, we did already our prana mantra. Sorry, I'm still with my last dream. It was a very pleasant dream, and I'm arriving into this body. So very soon, all my human endowments or capacities are filled with me. So it's very interesting. There are many, many, many words in the Bhakti tradition for affection. Many, just like the Eskimos who deal so much with snow, have many words. Once I counted 62 words for snow. Yes, there are varieties of snow, and they know, they are experts in snow. So therefore they know the fine nuances of snow. Yeah, really, I'm not joking, 62 different expression. In the same way, the Bhakti tradition, who is not so much interested in snow, but in love, has many, many, many expressions of this. Now, the last quality of Krishna, this affection or love, is something, is a love that he focuses on people like us, souls who have fallen into the material world and who turn to him. For them, he has a parental type of affection which is known in Sanskrit as Vatsalya. Yes, once again, the first A is a little longer than you pronounced it. Vatsalya. Yeah, so Vatsalya Jaladi, Krishna is an ocean of affection. The affection of a parent to their child is a protective kind of affection. The mother wishes that only that the child is protected from harm. And there are accounts, description of the love of the mother to the child, which are just amazing. Like I heard once that a man with his child went out in Croatia to cruise in the ocean. It was a motor boat, and somehow they came into the Bura. Oof. Croatia has unfriendly aspects, but Bura is the most unfriendly aspect. All countries have unfriendly aspects. But the Bura is a very ice-cold, very fierce storm, which when you are on the ocean, then it's dangerous. So that storm took the motor boat, and somehow the husband or the man was able to grab the little baby in his boat and somehow get out of the boat before it crashed. Then they were on this one island, a rocky island, which had a cliff. So somehow the wife alarmed the people who take care of saving people. And they tried to get the husband and the baby out from the island, but there was a steep cliff and they couldn't land with a helicopter, they couldn't land with a boat. And then they tried to bring people to the island with a strong boat, and then they would come out of the boat, and they took ropes to try to take ropes to come down over the cliff, right, to save mainly the baby and the husband, the man. But there was such a storm that all the climbers were just who came with the ropes down, they just repeatedly hit against the cliff that they just couldn't get there. So when the mother heard that her baby is down, at the bottom of the cliff and could not be saved, she, who was not an expert in climbing, just somehow came there crying like only a mother cry, And she somehow got a rope. She got down on the rope, something which the climbers could not do, and then took her baby. She didn't take her husband because it's not so easily possible. And she climbed up and saved her baby. And later the question came up, this is how I heard it, how could you do what and even expert climbers could not do? And the answer of the mother was, out of love, I could do this. Love for my baby. So the mother is very interesting. She will leave all other children and only care for hers. She can sacrifice all of her own comforts to attend to the needs of her baby. There are stories of childbirth, my dear devotees. I just want you to understand what is Vatsalya Priti, the love, parental love. There are stories of childbirth where the question came up, one would die, either the baby or the mother. And the mother, out of love for the baby, would say, let the baby be born. I don't care. I'm already old, 30 years. This baby is young, very young. Let the child born. And made a difficult decision. So this is the word which Ramanujacharya uses for Krishna's love for his devotees, a protective kind of love. There is in our ancient work, the Bhagavatam, there's a very amazing account of Krishna's love for his devotees, which I think you will love very much. Tameva vatsa shraya britya vatsalam mumukshubhimrikya padapya padatim. I know you don't understand and I don't understand, but I want to show you that I'm bona fide in what I say. Here the word is britya vatsalam. No, this is it means he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. This morning we heard from our Keshava Maharaj how Dhruva was rejected by his father, and that meant also he was rejected as the next emperor. His father would give the throne to his younger brother Uttama because he loved the co-wife of Dhruva's mother more. So Dhruva, who wanted the throne and who wanted the love of his father more than anything, and was very hurt when he was rejected, ran to his mother Suniti. Suniti, we heard today. What does this mean? Wisdom. Su means super wisdom. Or very great wisdom. And Suniti told him, now it gets moving, my dear boy, you also should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in devotional service. You will become purified by executing your allotted occupation. And now I give you this tip. Just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. What is this? This is means smaranam. You bring, or in here the word used in the translation is situate God in your heart. And without deviating for a moment, this is Dhruvanu Smriti, engage always in his service. No? So Srila Prabhupada writes a purport to this, where he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's very famous. In this connection, Queen Shuniti advised her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Britya Vatsala. Please say
Britya.
Which indicates that he is very kind to his devotees. She said, "You came to me crying because you were insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help his devotees." What do you think? Sounds nice, no? It may be difficult to believe. We will get to this difficulty, which I think is there. So, it is the conviction of many devotees that as they go through life and experience the unavoidable ups and downs of life. They are now laughing, but they will also cry. It's unavoidable, the ups and downs, no? As you go through this, there is an over, an often overlooked way to a steady position, that is to take shelter at Krishna. There are of course examples of Uttara, for instance, of Draupadi, of Gajendra and Prahlad, who took shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Let's look for at Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was always remembering Krishna. He is that prime example of remembrance for Krishna. And the Lord, therefore, in his hour of need, appeared. It's the avatar with the shortest amount of staying here. He only appeared for 48 minutes, Nrisimha Dev. His whole Leela on this earth is finished in 48 minutes. And this Leela has been questioned. God appears for one devotee for such a short time? Couldn't he have arranged that Prahlad is protected? There's a very well-known story that once Akbar, the powerful emperor of India, heard about the Nrisimha Leela, and he challenged his minister Birbal, who was a Hindu. "I can't imagine that your God, the God appears for one devotee. He can arrange everything. My concept of God is that he's all powerful, but he has people who can do things for him." "I show you tomorrow," said Birbal. In the morning there was this custom that one servant would take the grandson of the Emperor Akbar on a morning walk through the palatial gardens. And Akbar would come out on the balcony and bathe his eyes in the happiness of his grandson. This morning, the scene repeated itself. The emperor heard the happy giggling of his son and went on the balcony and feasted his eyes on this scene. The servant went with the boy, and when he came to the pond, he screamed, "Ah!" took the boy and threw him wide into the pond to drown him. Akbar was beside himself. He kills my grandson. He jumped from the balcony. He ran to the pond. He swam in the middle of the pond, and he got what he thought was his grandson, but it was only a puppet of the grandson. He swam with the puppet back. And there was his minister. "Why didn't you send your servant to save your grandson? Why did you personally come down from the balcony?" "Birbal, what's going on?" "Yeah, you asked this question." At this moment, the servant came out with the grandson, and Akbar understood. Birbal, his minister, had dressed in the cloth of his servant. He had given the appearance of bringing the son out. But it was only a puppet, and he had thrown it into the pond to make his point that when there is love, there is also personal care. There is no delegation. There is personal care. So that we are talking about this type of love. It's a love which those who have been able to open their heart, they relish. No, it is always answered. So Shuniti said further on, "Nanyam tata patmang palasam lochana dukkha chittam." No one else than the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead can mitigate your distress. I would like to now, yes, but it is often, Krishna is often the last person to whom a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement turns. He turns to his friends, he turns to his GBC, he turns to this Swami or that Swami. I often meet devotees with distressed faces, and they expect me to give the saving answer. But here we hear something which we all need to consider. No one else, says Shuniti, than the Lord can mitigate our distress. And perhaps it needs that single-minded conviction to evoke that answer of the Lord. Krishna shows his affection in two ways. In three ways. I forgot one. By appearing personally, that is rare, but the more often way you can look for his mercy or affection is by his arrangements. And the third, which I will put emphasis here, is by letting you meet devotees. I would like to tell you a modern story which I just heard recently. There were two devotees, they were Matajis. They were flying from Astana to Almaty. And this is a place in Kazakhstan, Russia, I believe. Somehow they needed to take the flight before the dinner prasadam, and the kind devotees gave the devotees huge amounts of prasadam. It happens. The devotees are very kind. They forget the measurements. They give large amounts of prasadam. And one of the two devotees said, no need. We can survive the 1 hour of flight, you know. But the other devotee said, I'm very, very hungry, and took all this prasadam. So they were flying together. They were flying. It was a three seat, you know, this is a middle island. Who of you knows airplane? There's sometimes three or four seats in the middle. So there was this one devotee on one side, let us say on the right side. This was the devotee who didn't want to eat anything. Then there was an empty space. And then there was on the left side a man who was dressed in a dark suit and had an absolutely dark expression in his face. He looked like Mr. Super Mafioso. So this devotee who was alone, just separated only by an empty seat, called the hungry devotee, the hungry Mataji, to sit next to her. And the hungry Mataji immediately started to eat, you know, and looked over to her dark neighbor. Oh, I have very delicious food. I have too much because my friend doesn't want to eat. Would you like to eat? It's homemade. Do not do this to me, said the dark man. Okay, sorry. It's so good, you know. Try this. Soon they will come and serve you Erfurt food. I said no. Oh, sorry. Then the stewardess came on the side of the dark man. The dark man whispered to her, vegetarian, saying, I want a vegetarian meal. So she made a note and went. Again, the Mataji said, You know, this airplane food is very unhealthy. It's usually overcooked. No, said the man. I heard you ordering a vegetarian diet. This is absolutely vegetarian, homemade. And I mean, this preparation, you can't say no to this preparation. So the man goes, oh my God, why is he, she was a she, why is he constantly doing this to me? What? I'm a she. The moment I went on this plane, I knew it would come to this. I saw you two. I know one of you. That is Malika Mala. I don't know you, but then Malika Mala, I knew, sat in the same row. And when there was an empty seat, I knew she would call you over. And when you came and you had this huge package, I knew what was in there. Prasad and Maha Prasad, most properly. Hey, now you're speaking. So they talked some more, and it turns out this was a devotee. He was from the London Temple. he had a quarrel with a devotee, as it often happens. There were insults, there were words that should not have been spoken. Then after some time, he left the London temple and ended up alone. There was one thing which he kept. Can you imagine? He stayed a vegetarian. Only thing he kept. Then he said, do you understand it's impossible to get away from Krishna? I don't want to be friends with him, but he doesn't stop. Wherever I go, he somehow sends me prasadam. He sends me devotees. I find Bhagavad Gitas in the hotels. Can you imagine what he did just to me? I just came from the burial. Burial means funeral of my father. It's a Kazakhstan funeral. A herd of sheep is slaughtered and they serve meat from morning till evening. And I only could survive by eating some salad. I was very hungry. I know he got me with your prasadam. Give me prasadam, give me a lot. So he ate a whole huge plate, and the other devotee Mataji stopped eating and gave him a whole, you know, the back sack full of prasadam. And because he said, please give me a lot. My dear devotees, have you ever seen an arrangement of Krishna where you thought, that's Krishna now? Some of you nod the head. I think all of us have seen there is an arrangement of Krishna. But I would like to, and that is, he speaks to his devotees, through his devotees. Has this happened to you, that a devotee said just what you needed to hear? Perhaps it has happened here, when Keshava Maharaj spoke, when, who else? Our Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj spoke to you. You felt it was more than picking up a book or hearing on the radio something. You really felt this was directed towards you, and no matter how much the psychologists will say that was your own wishful thinking, you know, I know wishful thinking, but this is something else. You knew that he spoke to you. Through the voice of his devotees. This is why we have devotee association, because it is in devotee association that we can feel Krishna. Our Go Govinda Maharaj once said, if you go to Krishna and say, oh, you are an ocean of mercy, he would here say, Vatsalya Jaladi, an ocean of affection. Give me a drop of your mercy. Krishna will say, you are at the wrong address. That ocean is not with me now. My dear devotee has taken that ocean and has gone to distribute this nectar. He is now distributing my mercy. You will find in the scriptures many, many hints how we should go to the devotees, how we should get the mercy there. In the Rudra Gita, it's known in our movement as the Song of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, you are easily attained, but only by your devotees who have bhakti in their heart. Bhakti is so rare that even Brahma and Indra cannot attain it. What to speak of the liberated soul, but your bhaktas can give bhakti. And then Lord Shiva gives us one mantra. When we pray this mantra, we can achieve devotee association. Would you like to know this mantra? Association of devotees is not, skin deep, that I'm sitting in the same room, maybe so close that I feel the knee of the neighbor in my stomach. It is heart deep, and that association we want. No? What I will read to you is a verse from, please take note, I know some of you take notes, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, verse 48. There it says that association with devotees, you know, and I'm speaking now of heart deep association, is your real mercy. The verse says, "Atanu gangres tavaki eti tirtayo." I just want to know that you know I'm authorized what I say here. I go immediately to the verse. He addresses Krishna. Therefore, because bhakti is so rare, I can't claim that please give me this directly. Please give me the association of your devotees who are completely purified by the famous Ganga arising from your lotus feet. So he wants the association of purified devotees. They are compassionate, they have proper conduct and pure hearts. Such association is your real mercy. Syat sangamo nugraha esha nastava. My dear devotees, in my life of Krishna consciousness, and I'm now going into the evening of my life, I have seen that association with other devotees is not always easy, because they're different from me. They also think different, I found out. And I want to leave you with a list which we have prepared. We needed a professor to write it. Is it there already on the screen? Gokula will put it. That will help you to have better association with devotees. Actually, Gokula, kann ich das? Jetzt noch nicht. Please, let us wait. I will leave you with this list, but I won't show it to you now for the suspense. I will first explain it and then I will leave it, and those who are interested can make a hand, but you have a distraction machine, but sorry, handy. You can make a photo at the end of the class. And I have seen in my life that some relationships are extremely nourishing, and I have also seen that some relationships are difficult, both for the devotees and for me. And I have further found out in my life, developed relationships in which I have invested my attention, my affection, they are usually working very well, and I get so much Krishna's signs. But I have seen that relationships in which I have not put energy, they don't work. I have seen this principle also in my relationship to my spiritual master, that if I have given service, if I have listened to him with ears and heart, and if I have taken a surrendered, submissive relationship, oh, it can be so nourishing. I have seen all this, and I have not been able to understand it very thoroughly until I heard something from one author called Stephen Covey. Who knows Stephen Covey? Oh, it is not so many. Stephen Covey is a very God-conscious person who read a lot in the wisdom literature of the world and then made his own coaching company and became well known for this. I think he has died. I'm not so educated any longer, but he has given a wisdom which he calls the emotional bank account. He says, just like in ordinary affairs, there is an account, an emotional, not money, emotional relationship between two people. There are deposits. Deposits, you understand this English word? What you give into it, which makes your account in the plus. And there are withdrawals, something which we take, which if you're not careful and you don't have enough deposits in the relationship goes into the minus. So I have taken what he has written and reformulated this in a Krishna conscious way, you know, that devote in a context of devotees. The first deposit is understanding an individual. Also, when Keshava Maharaj and myself, I was honored to give a mutual class with him in Berlin, and he said that's the first thing that Krishna did. He spent a whole chapter of the Bhagavad Gita understanding Arjuna's concerns. So understanding an individual means you have to check out his check out is such a low word. Understand his desires. What does he desire in his life? What are his interests? I'm taking this from Keshava Maharaj. What is he interested in? And what are maybe his concerns? You know, Ramananda's and Madhumati's son is here. His name is Shuka, the best dressed man in the Switzerland, I always say. Shuka told me, we had a conversation, and with glowing eyes, he told me, I want to buy an e-bike or e-roller. And wow, now I understood. Shuka is talking to me. So I said, I didn't know. Please tell me, what is there in the e-bike that attracts you so absolutely? Oh, you don't know e-bike. And he told me an e-bike kata. And I understood his interest. And I said, are you afraid about something in the e-bike? Yeah, he said, I might go too fast. I'm a little bit intense by nature, and then I can't get through the curve nicely, you know. So that was a concern. So we talked about this, and I could understand I had made a contact that I had never made before. I did refrain from preaching to Suga the first time in my life, I must admit. And I took understanding him. This is a deposit. When he will be old, he will remember, you asked me about my e-bike. then the withdrawal would be imposing on someone, advising without being asked. This is my good strength. We Swamis get our prasadam because we preach. But that's a withdrawal. You don't really care for me. You are already advising me. You don't even know me. So understanding the individual, that is so important before we judge him, before we preach to him, before we dislike him, first try to understand him or her. Second point, keeping commitment and promises. I once had a servant, I will not tell you his name, and he needed to drive a lot, and we had unregular meals, but he was young and always hungry. And I always asked him, let's skip this meal. Eating is uninteresting. Let us move in. Then I said to him, please, I know I'm asking you for surrender, but in autumn, our preaching party will go to India. I will take you along to India. This was a commitment and a promise. But when the time came to go to India, I had so many preaching engagements already where I couldn't say no, and I said, sorry, we can't go to India. I regret this up to this time, because after a few months he said, this is too intense for me, Sachinanda Swami. We have to look for a new driver and a new assistant. No? Keeping promises is an investment. Breaking promises, that is a strong withdrawal. Third point, attending to little things. I mean the small kindnesses, the things which you do not have to do, is an absolutely investment. Forgetting to show that the other matters to you is a strong withdrawal. Ignoring is the strongest withdrawal that is possible in a relationship. And then I will go now fast. You will get the list there and you can make a photo. Showing personal integrity is a deposit. Being manipulative, lying, cheating, is a withdrawal. And the fifth is, you will be very interested apologizing if you have made a mistake. And not defend. Oh, I didn't mean it like this. and defending your faults. My dear devotees, please take a look at this list and you will have some practical tools how to make your relationships with devotees matter strong. Why is this important even? Because Krishna very often shows his kindness through his devotees, like I wanted to illustrate to you with the story of the man who was dressed in black. He was had also a black face because, yes, he suffered from what is happening sometimes. It is perhaps unavoidable because of differences. We clash, and then words and activities follow that should not have been said and that are very difficult to take back, and actions follow that are very difficult to write again. It can be healed, no problem, but it takes full investment to heal that. So yes, Krishna shows his affection and his protection very often through his devotees. And I thought to end on this note so that you have something that is immediately you can practice on the ground. But all this is really only helpful in a Vaishnava context, so that we become, capable to remember Krishna, not forget him. Gokula, would you be so kind to show the list now? Oh, it's already there. Mumps.
2 minutes ago.
Wonderful. Thank you. Gokula is, I have seen, he has such a service attitude that he understands things. He's on the Seva canal, and that connects people very deeply. Thank you, Gokula. Yes. So this is a little bit what I wanted to say, but watch also for his arrangements. We are in the land of Carl Gustav Jung, so let him also, he would call it synchronicity. What is synchronicity? It's something is going on in your mind, and then something happens outside that has no rational connection to what you do, but it tells you a powerful lesson. No? We say in our Hare Krishna language, Krishna's arrangement. No? It was a very energizing retreat for me. What I want to say is, this is indirect talk. It means, it is quite, but now it's over. Hare Krishna. So I want to end here. I want to thank you all very much and want to spend perhaps the last 12 minutes or so. We will end a little earlier today. Maybe even 50 minutes, but not more than that, with questions which you might have, and I will try my best to answer. How did you like the modern story? Oh, well, thank you. But I can. I have often been like this. Oh no, he's again. Sometimes, because I'm a little free, I say the boss is speaking. There's a form of Krishna Kata Shamayi. It means the arranger of everything. So sometimes we see, he's already arranging things again. Yes, good. So please ask me your questions if you have any. I see Professor Krieg. No, that is behind you. Behind the professor. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
What is your good name, please?
My name is
Anisa. Alicia?
Anisa.
Anisa, yes.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful hearing from you.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
I was curious, yesterday you spoke about Krishna's sweetness and even Krishna's chastisements are sweet. And that was curious to me. I wanted to ask then, in that mood, what is the best way to receive chastisement?
First, use the emotional traffic light, and then try to look behind the event. What does this mean? When something happens to us, we tend to react immediately, no? Emotional traffic light means red, pink. Stop, before reacting. Then, just like a traffic light switches on yellow, which means wait, you should also wait, but this is an active waiting. You should start to think, what does this What is perhaps a better response than just impulsively controlled by my habits to react like this? So, wait, yellow. If you are able, you might, but you, most of the time we are not able. So let's not go into idealistic thoughts here. So you stop, and during this waiting period, you formulate a good response. Then, only when you're sure you have some good response, you go on green, and you do it. This, my dear devotees, would have saved so many spats, quarrels, even wars on an international level, if one could just switch, you know. Now, looking behind the events is something which requires a little bit training. Yadubara and Vishaka wanted to leave our movement with a film clip of Srila Prabhupada on his deathbed. That's quite a weighty project. And they asked through the servants if Prabhupada was willing to be filmed when he was dictating the Bhagavatam. Those of you who do not know Prabhupada, to almost the very end, translated and commented on the Bhagavatam. I think it was the 13th or 14th chapter. Anyone knows? 14th chapter. That's where he ended. 13. Good. You know. And he then, and there was no answer. And Yadubara and Vishaka also understood. I mean, he's leaving the body. And then suddenly it came. Come quick. So they came with their filming equipment. And you see Prabhupada very emaciated. He is preparing his departure, it is very clear. And he speaks with absolute clarity. He translates the purport, and then he gives a very extra long purport. It's the longest purport he spoke, because he knew it. He would speak to all of his disciples and coming disciples. And there is one sentence in there, which I will try to now repeat for you, but I can also turn to Gaur Krishna. Did you ever look for this? To understand that everything is and everyone moves under the control of Krishna, that understanding is Krishna consciousness. Maybe you try some words from the sentence and something should change. We know 13th chapter of 10th canto. To understand, I'm pretty sure. I see some of you are also looking for the direct words. The content of the statement is to understand that events have two faces, an outer face and an inner face. The outer face is how you perceive it. Often it's different from how you perceive it. But let's not get into this. And then there is an inner face of an event. That is, it tells you something. It is under Krishna's control. If you are still looking, it is 10, 13 or 14, 58. It just, this came up, and I don't know from where it comes. I usually don't remember numbers, but perhaps it's there. It's in the 50s. result as of yet, but you have... Yeah, to understand that everything and everyone is moving under the will or control of Krishna, that understanding is Krishna consciousness. Good. I think you believe me that I'm not making this up. And yes. So this is the high school. The this is not the first level of Krishna consciousness. It is a higher level, but at least theoretically you can think, what is this teaching me? Yes. But the emotional traffic light, you understood? It's very simple. Red, yellow, green. Stop, wait and think. Go for it. Hare Krishna. So, yes, anyone else? I'm looking towards the attentive men, listeners. No? Yes. Our Matajis are also in Keshava Maharaj's class. Our Matajis are listening. Hey, boys, what is with you? You eat too much. I'm sorry. Yes, we have a microphone for you.
It's all. Thank you so much for this whole seminar. Today's and the previous days, it's been heart shifting and mind shifting. In regards to today's topic, I wanted to ask a question. Is about when it happens during difficult times and tests that we are going through, that we notice that our heart is getting, instead of being more open, is getting more closed and distanced from Krishna, from spiritual master, from devotees. Are there some spiritual medicines that we can apply, something that comes to your mind? What would be the medicines to go to when we notice that we are in such life circumstances and moments?
Because you know the standard answers, I can now only answer, I don't need to repeat them. I will go to the more personal answers. Yes, it happens. I do know this also. It has happened in my own relationship with devotees, even with Srila Prabhupada. I read something, and how is this? And my mind goes, how is this, you know? What I have always tried to see is the intention behind what is said or what is done. And if I go to the intention, it is different than the expression sometimes that I perceive. It's very interesting. Our team has given a gift of a book to someone. I can't actually tell, because the moment you know what is the book. And it, well, it's a book on team building, this much I can say. And the person who received the gift opened the book, and the first thing is, he found out, and I was really going like, ooh, even the book people know this, the writers. When you want to have build good teams, you need to have good relationships, obviously. And the first thing you should practice, try to practice for a day, that behind everything the other person does is an intention. Try to find the intention, and very often it is good. I had once a terrible fallout with one of my god brothers. I mean, we both are civilized, we don't say bad words, but it was really we became strangers to each other. And because we had to work together on something, finally, one of us went to the other and said, "Can you please tell me why you are doing this or saying this? What is going on behind you?" And the other person said, "Oh, thank you for asking," and told the intention. And it was a wonderful intention. Very good. And from there, we could work. Good. So this is what I do also when I read a difficult passage. I go connect with the intention there, which is, I mean, I don't want to pull Prabhupada on the level of human interaction. He is, but I must say, sometimes when I was very, you know, I was very critical when I came to Krishna consciousness. I forbade myself to deal with Prabhupada like this, but there were difficult statements for me. I was a freedom lover like anything. I believed in equalities, many values, and I had to wrestle and struggle with some concepts. And it saved me when I understood the intention which is there. I hope that helps. That is what I do, and also, yeah, the intention. No? Then you understand a person. I leave it with this. You can do many. You know me. I have a toolbox because I have such a complex mind with many things. But I leave it with the intention for now. Anyone else has a question? I see our Keshava Maharaj says it. Mm-hmm. Yes, Keshava Maharaj. Yes, Keshava Maharaj.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much.
I thank you. You are our inspiration here. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, I had a general question on remembrance, because I know the whole seminar has been about remembrance, and you really want to share this with the devotees that while Shravanam and Kirtanam is our process, ultimately it should lead to a remembrance of Krishna, always remember Krishna. Maharaj, could you say something about, I don't know if you can speak personally for yourself, what does remembrance of Krishna look like on a day-to-day basis? Is that, when we say remembrance of Krishna, is it a remembrance of Krishna's pastimes as you're going through life? Is it a remembrance of Krishna's presence in your life, arranging things? Is it a remembrance of Krishna's teachings? Mm-hmm. Or is it all of those things? Or is there a progress there? Like, what does, when we say remembrance of Krishna, what aspect or in what way does that remembrance manifest in the life of a devotee? Or is it just very individual?
Thank you very much. Let's first look at the tradition in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Srila Jiva Goswami says smaranam, and that's the first level of bringing a thought into your mind, starts with the name of Krishna. This is kind of obvious, actually, when we remember a person or when we want to make a relationship with a person. What's your name? You know, we ask like this. And we remember, who is there whom both of us very much hold in our mind? Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. We have the name, and immediately what he said, maybe his example, many things come through the name into our mind. This is the idea of chanting the name. You begin to, as you sing the name, you start your process. You remember the person, Krishna. No, that is how real Naam Kirtan. This is Naam Sankirtan. Then from there the qualities. How is Krishna? what does he do? What does he like? His characteristics. No, wrong. Then Naam, and then the Rupa, his form. How does he look like? And you begin to understand, how does Krishna look like? Good question. Then you remember how he looks like. Then it goes on, his qualities. And finally, his pastimes. That's a traditional form of remembrance. And it is so, you must understand the mindset of our tradition. There is an example which is given, like just like a mridanga drum. First I say mridanga, then I think of the form, then I think of what it does, it boom, 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 boom. I mean, I'm sorry for the mridanga players, they will disagree, it does much more. It sings and so on. And then what it does in kirtan. We know mridanga, yes, it is the heartbeat of the kirtan. No? So this the thing of nama, rupa, guna, lila, name, form, quality, and pastimes of what it does, is such a common sense thing, if you think about it. It's not highly esoteric, it's not highly advanced. It's what we do as human beings when we remember. So this is the traditional form of remembrance of Krishna. Now, coming to this particular seminar, or coming to us, Rupa Goswami, this was Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is an analytical philosopher. Rupa Goswami, his voice is a little different than Jiva's. And he says the first step is smriti. And he says to remember Krishna in whatever way that is called smriti. Remembrance in whatever way. I would like to give you some examples. Now, our Keshava Maharaj knows, but all of us, how can I remember Krishna? The most important aspect is you read and recall what you have read. Prabhupada writes in one of his writings, I believe, but I'm not so good now in this. He believes, I'm writing this book so that you can remember God. It's for that. So this is someone who has read or who has heard, same thing. He can remember easily. Someone who does not, who avoids reading and hearing, cannot remember so easily, because it is through reading and also hearing that sanskaras, impressions, are made in our heart. My dear everyone, why is remembering Krishna, even after sometimes many years of practice, so difficult? Because we have viuda sankalpas in our heart. What's that? These are impressions that come up sometimes in an embarrassing and unwanted way. Like you may find yourself chanting, and all of a sudden in your chanting you see a black forest cake with cherries. This was a typical viuda sankalpa. I will spare you here of the more embarrassing examples. Something unwanted, something which is perhaps disturbing. Black forest cake, I will defend. It's always good. joking. There are viuda sankalpas which I don't want to tell now. To you all know what you think better than I. And what comes up, like bubbles, ill-smelling, bad-smelling bubbles that come up from the bottom of a pond. This is the difficulties. And you need to create now other impressions, other sankalpas is it sankalpa? Samskara. Samskaras. Vyuda samskaras, not sankalpas. Samskaras. You need to create new impressions in your heart. Very, very important. Then only you can remember Krishna always. I like to read to you this. This is for Vrindavan Vinodini, who has asked me a question, and I wanted always to find. Yeah. In common words, this means Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, fasten your seatbelt, his words are not so common. He's a highly philosopher. In common words, this means stop the movement of mind, which like a river which cannot be controlled, gravitates to vulgar sense objects such as taste, my black forest cake, no? And establish the mind's movement in my beautiful form, Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and rasa. O Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth, you have conquered many enemies. You have taken much wealth. Now I ask you to conquer the mind so that you can take the treasure of meditation. It's in a purport. I know some of you like to read such things the verse 12:9. Bhagavad Gita 12:9. No? So this is there. Hare Krishna. So I would recommend to start to remember Krishna in whatever way possible. What you will then see is that you have so many other sanskaras and it's not so easy for you, and then you will do the next step. Not you, but we. We will do the next step. We will try to read about Krishna. Oh, I don't know anything about Krishna. I don't remember anything about Krishna. Better I now study about Krishna. And then you create other sanskaras. Thank you very much, Maharaj. we found, Krishna found the thing. He just needs to activate the machine. On this movie, and you can see how Prabhupada dictates, he tells us what is Krishna consciousness to in practice. No? One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Can you please help Krishna? Where is it? Yeah, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, verse 53. Not 58, 53. I repeat, 10, 13, 53. It's beautiful. You really please find it and read it. It is about the question of independence, because Prabhupada, I think he wanted us to know many things about this. It's a beautiful, very rich purport, which he spoke to the camera in his last time with us. Good. I have seen the wristwatch, the clock. I will end here. Not completely. I want to make advertisement for a book. This is the best book. It is amazing. It is the title is From Punk to Monk, and it is written by our Raghunath Prabhu, who goes by the name Ray Raghunath Kapoor. He is a great influence in the youth culture still. People flock together at his concerts, but he is now a preacher in the, he has this wisdom of the sages broadcast, which is widely seen. He does this together with Kostuba. And this book describes his journey in Krishna consciousness, which is very, very instructive. It is very deep at times. Our Ghanashyam Priya has written about this book, Raghunath's Transformation, you know, from punk to monk. Raghunath's Transformation shows how one person's choice to evolve can change the lives of so many. This is the book, and I started to read it, and I'm afraid of books by now because I have so much to read. But this book I ate like a Rasgulla sweet. I was very much in it. It is really wonderful. If you want to look at it, find out how to order it, Banu Nandini will be at the book table, and you can look at it there and photograph the details for and you can order it on Amazon or Amazon I think is the address nowadays. Thank you all very, very much. We will end here.